Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio. Odyssey app.
1 o'clock Sunday, home opener at Northwest Field. That's what it's called now. The Giants come to town. Washington is a 1-point favorite. The public's lined up on Washington in this game, which is worrisome. Joining us right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline, Bet Smarter, Beat the Books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com, is Art Stapleton. Art covers the Giants for North Jersey and USA Today. You can follow Art on X on Twitter, at @Art_Stapleton. So, like, this is an interesting matchup between two teams that got completely blown out in week one from this standpoint more than any other, I think, and that is the Giants standpoint and Daniel Jones. You know, you wrote, can he, you know, answer his critics? He's taking hits from all angles and lead the Giants to a win Sunday in D.C. Can he?
Hey, Kevin, thanks for having me. And, you know, when it's March and you're thinking about football and you're dreaming and you just can't wait for the season to come, 1 o'clock on Sunday between the Commanders and Giants is not exactly how you dream it up, right, after what happened in week one. Yeah. But, you know, like I said, thanks for having me. You know, the thing about Daniel Jones is, you know, he's had two franchises that he's probably had his best moments of his career against. One is the Minnesota Vikings. Well, they kind of got a little revenge against him last week. And now it's the Commanders, especially in that building. Northwest Field, you said.
Yep.
You know, we all obviously knew it by its former name. But, you know, look, the reality is that the Giants quarterback here for years, and I don't know if it's the contract, I don't know if it's personality, I don't know if it's just because he's in New York and they just have not won a lot. But he's taken shots, not just physically, but from across the league that you normally don't see. And
right.
I think that's the crazy thing, is that you've got players on current teams taking shots at Daniel Jones. Now, if you had an attitude like Baker Mayfield, right, when he first came into the league, people wanted to jump on Baker immediately when he started losing, because it was, oh, that guy, he's so arrogant, and he's this and he's that. And even I think of Jameis Winston, you know, when he struggled, people wanted to jump all over him for everything that happened at Florida State. And those are two guys that are, like, at the front of my mind when I'm trying to think of it. Daniel Jones isn't that guy. Like, Daniel Jones doesn't go on social media and comment on issues. And if anything, Daniel Jones is lying in the weeds. You know, he doesn't say anything. He doesn't, you know, he's joked about, you know, how he looks like a Wall Street banker walking into games because he's got his backpack slid over his shoulder. The crazy thing is that, you know, Jones now, anything that happens to him is now being scrutinized and criticized by players. You know, you have players on the Vikings saying they felt sorry for him a little bit, tongue-in-cheek, because he was being booed. It's a crazy scenario, and that really is the number one thing for the Giants going against this team, is that, you know, you've got a quarterback with Washington that they flirted with in the draft, and, you know, had they been able to sit at number two, I think Jaden Daniels would be the quarterback of the Giants right now, and he's obviously not, so the quarterback of the Giants now has to deal with all of that in addition to sluggish play in week one.
I mean, incredible job in laying it out, because I think that's what, like, we've been talking about this on the show this week, that this guy has been mocked from all corners. I mean, I saw the video of him walking out of the Meadowlands after Sunday's loss to Minnesota, and I was wondering, you know, is this a personal attack or more just about his play and what kind of guy he is? Because I don't know. I do know, by the way, he has owned our team. He's 5-1-1 against Washington and has feasted on Washington. But it's a great description, and it doesn't seem – it seems so personal, and yet you're saying that this isn't a guy that should be personally attacked. I mean, critique his game, which hasn't been great, but he's a decent person. I would ask you, has he lost confidence? Like, is there a confidence crisis now?
You know, I asked him that specifically yesterday. You know, we were all around his locker again, and, you know, the same questions over and over. And he says he's confident in what he can do. But I think when the game is going on and he's out on the field, you know, it looks like he's not playing instinctively. And I think that does come down to confidence, but it also comes down to trust. You know, when he played last year, he had two injuries. He had a neck injury, and then obviously he had the ACL in the first game he came back from the neck injury.
Right.
You know, he was beaten to a pulp. You know, that offensive line for the Giants last year was awful.
Terrible.
And, you know, I think there has to be some of that, you know, you talk Sam Darnold seeing ghosts, right? A couple of years ago, the idea he made that comment, it was caught by, you know, the mics up on NFL films, that he was seeing ghosts, that the Patriots were sending things that he thought he was seeing but weren't there. It comes down to trust. You know, as much as you can do it in practice, as much as you can do it in joint practices, which they had some really good joint practices against a team that right now might be the favorite, if not the co-favorite, to win the Super Bowl from the NFC, and that's the Detroit Lions. You know, Jones played really well against them in the summer, but when you take that red jersey off and you go out there and, you know, the teams are coming after you, he's got to know what he's seeing. He's got to trust what he's going to see. Sometimes you just got to let it rip, and I think for Jones, with everything he's gone through, it's easy to wonder, is he just shell-shocked? Is he the David Carr of this generation? The idea that a team screwed him up so badly and he did not develop enough. And, you know, maybe he wasn't as talented as they thought he was. But the reality is, you know, I think it's easy to question, can he pull out of this? You know, it's almost like it's that plane in the tailspin, you know, the idea of can you pull out of it? And if he doesn't pull out of it, you know, the Giants are in a bad way right now.
Yeah, you know, we're talking to Art Stapleton. He covers the Giants for USA Today. And I, you know, the difference between Jones and Carr is that Jones actually had a year. You know, 2022 was a pretty good season, and it's fallen apart. And the injury was a big part of it. And you mentioned it. And From afar, I've always wondered, like, how can you even judge Daniel Jones? He has had nothing around him except Saquon Barkley, who was always hurt as well. Why is Brian Daboll sticking with him as of now? Or do you think this Sunday is, you know, win or it's Drew Lock in week three?
Well, you just said it. It's Drew Lock. So how much do you truly believe in Drew Lock? You know, you paid him $5 million guaranteed to come here and be a backup. But it was one of those, you know, we like what we see on film. Let's bring him in here. He can be a veteran backup. You know, they wanted Tyrod Taylor to come back as the backup. But Taylor, you know, I think there was some displeasure about the way last year was handled between Taylor and Tommy DeVito and the injuries and everything else. So when Taylor had a chance to jump to the Jets and be Aaron Rodgers' backup for a $1 million raise, he took it. So Drew Lock is here. I mean, I think that's the difference. If they had a quarterback here that they drafted and he was behind Daniel Jones, I think you might see that rookie come in immediately. You know, that rookie may have come in last week. But the reality is they've kind of backed themselves into a corner and they said, you know what, we're going to give Daniel this season. After this, we have an out of the four-year contract that he signed. We have to take I think it's $22 million cap hit of dead money, but we're going to try to get out of it. Look, if things don't work, the biggest problem with Jones right now is not only that he's not producing individually, he didn't facilitate the offense on Sunday. You know, he didn't get the ball in the hands of their receivers. Their running game was not there at all. And I think the offensive line played a lot better than what he got last year. Still wasn't perfect, but I think the reality is if you're Brian Daboll and you pull the cord on Daniel Jones, you have to do that with the understanding that it's over. And that's
over for him too.
Yeah, and it might be over for Daboll right now. Now he's got a scratch and claw to what he did last year and somehow win, you know, six games last year. I've made the argument that that Brian Daboll's coaching job last year, considering the circumstances, was better than what he did in year one when he won nine games and actually went to the playoffs and won a playoff game and was NFL Coach of the Year. I mean, what they had last year, the problems they had, the dysfunction in the coaching staff, what Daboll was able to do with Tommy DeVito, and you guys saw it firsthand last year. DeVito's first game was down there in Landover. So I think that's where they're at right now. The idea that, look, if the first half of this week is as bad as the last four quarters were, I think they have no choice but to go to Drew Lock. And then obviously with DeVito waiting in the wings, and then you see where you're at. But I don't know if they can pull the trigger right now. I think they're hoping that this defense will be more amenable to allowing the Giants to get into what they need to get into. And then we'll see. But they have to produce this week because right now everything is caving in and it's only week one.
Ark, do you think that there is already regret about not taking a quarterback at number six? I'll ask you about Malik Nabers here in a second, but do you think that that was an opportunity to, whether it was Penix Jr. or McCarthy or Nix, was that a – I didn't watch the Hard Knocks, the Giants Hard Knocks. People loved it. But just tell me, do you think that that was a missed opportunity and maybe they think so too?
You know, I don't think the regret is from not taking the guys that you mentioned. I think the regret is, you know, again, it's hindsight, and fans have this regret. How come you didn't tank? You know, the games you won last year were meaningless. Had you finished ahead of, you know, had you finished ahead in the draft order of Washington and New England, you would have had one of the two quarterbacks that you eyed, whether it's Jaden Daniels or Drake May. I think the regret right now that they really have to be asking themselves is they didn't want to make the Godfather offer to New England to get the number three pick. They figured they weren't going to have any shot at getting the number two pick from Washington. But I think they probably have to look at each other in the mirror and say, you know what? Should we have made that Godfather offer? Should we have offered three number one picks to try to get Drake May? Because right now, you know, they're in quarterback hell. You know, if Daniel Jones does not come out of this, they are now going into next year without a quarterback. And, you know, they hope that they're still here to make those decisions because you just don't know in today's NFL what ownership will do, especially the Giants. I mean, this is the first head coach since Tom Coughlin to get a third year. So, you know, you talk about being impatient and impulsive. I mean, they've been one of the worst teams in the last 13 years since they won the Super Bowl in 2011. So I don't think they regret taking Malik Nabers, but I think when you compare the quarterback and the type of player that Nabers is, and you seeing your quarterback not really function, that is a problem, and I think there probably is some regret.
You know, when you said that, I'm thinking of, like, you know, the guy with the horrific haircut. Was it McAdoo? McAdoo.
McAdoo.
Joe Judge, disaster. Pat Shurmur, who's with Dion now in Colorado. All these coaches. You guys have had more coaches with the Maras than Snyder hired during that same stretch, which, you know, is not good company to keep. So tell me about Malik Nabers so far. Did they get it right? Do they feel like they got it right?
Yeah, I mean, they love him. You know, he's been very good on the field. He was great this summer, competing against the Detroit Lions. I mean, you know, the Lions just could not cover him. And then the one play that he didn't catch, I think he had 18 targets in two joint practices. The one he didn't complete, he had 17 catches out of 18 targets, was the one that they got into the little, fisticuffs with Kirby Joseph. So, I mean, they love Nabers. He said all the right things. I mean, Nabers is, you know, it's welcome to the NFL. You know, he makes a comment on Sunday, which I think was an honest comment. They were asking him about his quarterback play, and he said, look, you know, I'm running my routes. I'm at the end of my routes. When I turn around and I look back and the ball doesn't get to me, I don't know what's happening back there. Now, people took that and took it as a shot at Daniel Jones. Legitimately, I can tell you, I don't believe it was a shot. I think he just was saying, look, you know, I can only do what I can do. And you mentioned Hard Knocks before. You know, that was an underlying theme for that entire Hard Knocks with Malik Nabers, is that the Giants wanted to know how Nabers would react if he didn't get the ball, if things were struggling early. And it was a big theme that Brian Daboll asking him in the combine interview. And the Giants scouts said, you know, watching Nabers, he's a fiery player on the field. He's a competitor. He's got a little bit of Odell in him like that, is that it's not necessarily ego, but it's the idea of I'm the man. I can lift this team up. You got to get me the football. So I think, you know, Nabers, you know, he was okay in week one. I mean, five catches, you know, had seven targets. He was, you know, he was okay. But the whole offense, the whole operation struggled. I would imagine this week, you know, Daboll was asked yesterday, you know, what do you got to do to get Malik Nabers more involved? And he just deadpanned and looked. He said, throw him the ball. So I would imagine if he doesn't get at least 10 targets this weekend, I would be very surprised. Either that or their running game somehow finds something this weekend. But yeah, I think they're happy with Malik Nabers. I think it's a really cool story with Nabers and Jaden Daniels this weekend. And I'm not talking about the called off bet for them right. that they made back in the spring. I mean, I know they're very close. They talk Tuesday night. It'll be interesting. We're supposed to talk to Nabers today, what he says about Jaden, because I know it's all love between the two of those guys. And, you know, Giants would have loved to maybe get both of them here, but obviously that was not the case.
So before last week, you know, in week one, I mean, I think is typically a massive head fake regardless. But I thought, that, you know, when we talked NFC East throughout the summer, I thought the Giants had a chance to be really good defensively with some of the talent they have. Tell me about what the Giant defense is going to be Sunday and beyond.
Yeah, you know, I think obviously everything is going to go up front. You know, Shane Bowen comes in, the new defensive coordinator from Tennessee. Yeah. They've said all along they wanted to build up the defensive front. They want to not blitz the way Wink Martindale blitzed, you know, as the defensive coordinator. You know, Dexter Lawrence is still Dexter Lawrence. I mean, he dominated on Sunday, but it also, you know, goes to show. And Washington knows, you know, better than anybody. You have talented interior defensive linemen, but if you can't get, you know, after quarterbacks from the edge, you know, your defensive linemen, you know, they kind of wash your way. Quarterback steps out of the pocket. So Brian Burns, Kayvon Thibodeau are two players who were really held in check against Minnesota. Now, Burns turned his ankle in Friday's practice last week, so I think there was a little hesitancy in terms of where he was at on game day. But Minnesota also had a great checkmate, the idea that Christian Darrisaw and O'Neal at right tackle, I think they're an underrated duo in this league. And I think, you know, the Giants couldn't get anything going on the edges early, and then they fell behind. And then, we all know, you know, a pass rush when you're chasing and the team can just keep you off balance, that's kind of what happened. But I would imagine that they will look to assert themselves early against Washington this week. I don't think that Washington has the kind of offensive line that could handle those guys. So I think that will be the chess match. Can they pin Jaden Daniels in and not let him escape and get down the field? Because we all saw as the pocket broke down last week, he was quick to run, and that's something that, you know, you can't really prepare for. I don't see them spying Jaden. He's not necessarily the runner that everyone expects. But that's where the defense will make its money for the Giants if they can turn this thing around. And it's Lawrence, Burns, and Thibodeau up front. You know, look, it's going to be very interesting to watch. You know, Baltimore kid, Tay Banks,
yep.
He had some battles with Terry McLaurin last year.
He did.
You know, they went at it very well. And, you know, Terry had his moments, and I think Banks felt like he hung in there and kind of earned his respect a little bit. That'll be a very interesting matchup on Sunday, because I do think that Banks will follow McLaurin around a little bit. So how they fare will really, you know, help the Giants defense out, because right now they've got – you know, some question marks on the back end of the secondary, some young guys. One guy to watch is Tyler Newbin. He's their rookie safety for the Giants. He played every snap last week, had some really good splash plays, really in a down defensive effort. So he's one of those guys that, you know, coming out on Sunday, he could be one of those guys, number 31, who shows up and, you know, Washington fans look at him and go, where'd this guy come from? You know, almost like the way Cam Curl a couple of years ago just kind of blew up. Everybody looks at it, you know, I think Newbin can be that kind of player for the Giants, at least.
So last one, and I appreciate the time. I kind of sense, and in reading your story and listening to you, you think the Giants can come in here and win and Daniel Jones can play well. I mean, is that solely based on what's happened before here with Jones and the Giants, or do you think that they rebound from an ugly week one?
You know, it's kind of what you said, the idea of, you know, week one could be a head fake. I like the way you said that. And I think, you know, we always put in so much into week one and say, boy, you know, what, this team's going to be awful. This team's going to be awful. And then that's kind of when all the betting lines, you know, go out the window week two, right? Because now everything is skewed towards week one. I think this is going to be a competitive game. I mean, I think these two teams are probably in the same weight class. It's been that way for the last 5 years with these two teams, and Giants have had an advantage. I think some of that advantage was the play calling and the decisions of Ron Rivera and Jack Del Rio. So I do think that Dan Quinn being on this team, having this defense, will give the Giants more challenges than Del Rio did, because I think the Giants kind of figured out Del Rio's system and what they were trying to do with Rivera also. I think it'll be close. I think, you know, I think both sides will probably have their moments where you just kind of shake your head and go, boy, how did that defense let that one up? But in the end, I think the rookie quarterback against that pass rush, I think as much as the Vikings had the Giants kind of, like I said, that checkmate situation with the prep pass rush, I don't know if the Commanders are good enough up front to prevent this defensive line from really wrecking the game early on. And I think that's kind of where maybe the Giants get the advantage. But, you know, look, if Washington gets out of the gates, you know, you're going to have a lot of Giants fans. You may even have people on the Giants sideline looking at Daniel Jones, wondering, man, is it time to pull that trigger? Because if they pull that trigger early, all of a sudden the game completely changes and the mood changes and everything else will happen. So,
Art,
like
thanks.
I said, I think it's close. I think it's
really
close,
appreciate Kevin. The time. Thank you so much.
No problem. You have a great day, all right?
Art Stapleton from USA Today. I want to tell you real quickly about Window Nation. They've got amazing September savings at Window Nation. If you're thinking about new windows, now's the perfect time. Window Nation leads the industry with an impressive 96% customer satisfaction rating. That's pretty good. That means when you choose them, you're getting top-notch quality and outstanding service every step of the way. Replace your old drafty windows and enjoy up to 40% savings on your energy bills. It gets even better. Window Nation offers an unbeatable lifetime warranty. That's their promise that your new windows are built to last for years to come. Right now, take advantage of an exclusive offer. Buy two, get two free, no limit. Plus, you can get started with no money down, no interest, and no payments for 24 months. Don't wait. Call Window Nation today. Schedule your free estimate. You've got nothing to lose right now by going to windownation.com or calling them at 866.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
90 Nation. And remember, to get this special offer, tell them that Kevin Sheehan sent you.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.